For the first time, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has now apologised formally for his actions, which saw him hold up in Ecuador's embassy in London for 7 years. Julian Assange made the written apology while advising a UK court he was dropping an appeal against his 50-week jail term for jumping bail in 2012. Behind bars, the Australian is now fighting extradition to the US over spying and computer hacking charges. With the legal fight in full swing, many are warning that his prosecution marks a dangerous new chapter for freedom of speech and the public's right to know.
A line has been drawn in the sand, and it's either you are going to support Julian and fight this extradition and those indictments, or you basically step back and the lights will go out. That's how serious it is.
That's Christine Hrafnsson, who's a friend of Julian Assange and the current editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks. Well, in a two-part series, Four Corners will investigate the 48-year-old's prosecution, speaking to those at the heart of WikiLeaks, as well as those who seek to bring him to justice in the US. Michael Brissenden is bringing you Four Corners tonight, and he's here in the studio. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Frank.
Oh, let me turn you Michael.
Hello,
Michael. The lights have gone off. The unreserved apology from Julian Assange, that's been a long time coming. Based on your understanding of Julian Assange as you've done this story, does it surprise you or does it make a lot of sense given what he's facing?
Well, look, firstly, I think that apology just relates to the his 50-week sentence that he's now serving for skipping bail when he was basically, when Sweden wanted to get him extradited for questioning over allegations of sex crimes, which of course he's never actually been charged for. So it doesn't surprise me that that's happening now, given what he's facing now, which is extradition request from the United States for espionage charges, which is 17 espionage charges, one hacking charge, total jail time potentially of 175 years, most of it, according to his US lawyer who we've spoken to, will probably be spent in solitary confinement. So
he's dropping
at something
his appeal
pretty serious.
To the 50 exactly. weeks in the British prison. Julian Assange is one of, one of the most influential whistleblowers, I should say, to emerge this century. He used digital technology to reveal government and corporate secrets. A lot of people applauded at the time when this first happened. You've spoken to both supporters and critics for Four Corners. What picture emerged, the kind of person he is, and has that changed over time?
Look, it has changed over time. Clearly, when WikiLeaks first and Julian Assange first burst onto the global scene with the collateral murder video, which was that video that showed US Apache helicopters firing on a group of men in a suburb of Baghdad, that really underlined the sort of callous nature of the war. It showed it to the whole world. It was very, very embarrassing for the US and for the whole military operation. Then, of course, there were the Iraq war logs and the Afghan war logs. And during that time, Julian Assange was something of he was a celebrated individual around the world. I mean, he was feted by the media. People wanted to know who this guy was. He was doing something, as one of our talent in the program tonight says, it was like he had some sort of dark art that no one else had. He wasn't a whistleblower. He was simply had the platform. And he had the idea. He was a sort of a digital disruptor, which he saw the potential.
It was exactly a digital disruption.
Yeah. He saw the potential.
He knows there's whistleblowers out there, and this is the way for them to take their story
out. And, of course, people remember that. All of that stuff came from files that were uploaded by then Bradley Manning, now Chelsea Manning, who gave Julian Assange and WikiLeaks all of that material. So it became, a very big story.
Let's go to that period now. Someone who knows Julian Assange well is former WikiLeaks spokesperson Daniel Domscheit-Berg. He was there when WikiLeaks hit world headlines. He later fell out with Julian Assange. Let's hear from him.
Everybody wanted to meet him. Everybody, it was like having an audience with him. And not just a rock star, but it was combined with his whole secret agent type of vibe that it had to it.
Secret agent kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Did Daniel Domscheit-Berg give any insight into what was motivating Julian Assange at that time, the time of the Chelsea Manning WikiLeaks
drop? Oh, look, he does. He gives a lot of insight into that because, I think fame hit Julian Assange in a big way. He became pursued all over the world. It became about Julian Assange, really, in the end. And that broke up the sort of collective nature of the original people who were around WikiLeaks, many of whom had very sort of high-minded views about what WikiLeaks should be and what it should be doing. Julian Assange then formed a collaboration with some big media organisations, including The Guardian and The New York Times. That all fell apart as well because over editorial differences about what should be published and what shouldn't be. And there, that gets to the nub of people's problem with Julian Assange.
Is Hero or villain.
Exactly. Is the way that he published and what he decided to publish.
Let's go to that now, because in tonight's Four Corners, we'll also hear from Alan Rusbridger. He's the former editor of The Guardian newspaper. He was, as you say, a WikiLeaks collaborator for that first drop. Let's hear from him.
He's quixotic, charming, brilliant, intolerable, maverick, difficult, impossible, narcissistic, entrepreneurial, vindictive. I mean, you know, we could go on all night, and he's all those things. And that's in a way why we're here talking about him, because he's a very interesting man.
Interesting man, that's one term for it for sure. Guardian, former Guardian editor Alan Rusbridger. How is the character of Julian Assange likely to play out through his legal battles, particularly against extradition to the US?
Well, the character of Julian Assange is central to the whole problems people have with Julian Assange, in that this idea of him being a narcissist, you know, in some ways he's visionary. All of those things that Rusbridger talks about.
He's Rockstar and secret agent.
He's a very, very complicated guy. And what he's done is very, very complicated as well. And how the world deals with what he's done is a real challenge that we're all facing at the moment.
And the challenge is, your Four Corners is titled Hero and Villain. The hero for many is that he was a guardian of free speech. And that's what, you know, people hailed WikiLeaks at the beginning. And then, of course, there was the last US election, where WikiLeaks and the hand of Julian Assange was seen in the leak of the emails, the Democrat emails. The Democrats, I mean, some of them firmly believe Julian Assange cost them the election,
indeed,
don't they?
They actually outright call him a tool, an agent of Russian intelligence. You know, I mean, he was given the leaks that after the Democratic National Committee was hacked by Russian intelligence, that we now know through the Mueller report. The Russians set up a cutout called Guccifer 2.0. Assange reached out to Guccifer, got that information, and there is a view that from some that the way he put that information out was highly coordinated. I mean, if you'll remember, the first big drop of that came 3 days before the National Democratic Convention, which was supposed to anoint Hillary Clinton, and did, of course, but it caused uproar. And the second one came out half an hour after the Access Hollywood tape came out. And then WikiLeaks dropped information every day for the last month of the campaign. And of course, Donald Trump famously stood up and said, "I love WikiLeaks," and mentioned WikiLeaks about 130 times in that last month. The irony of that is, and I guess, you know, be careful what you wish for, as one person says in the story tonight, is that now Donald Trump, as president, has done a full 180 and is coming after him, and his administration is coming after
him. That's right. And just on that, you've spoken to former Assistant Secretary of State for Public Affairs, PJ Crowley. He says Julian Assange is no free speech hero.
I don't see Julian Assange as this great crusader of transparency. I see him as a reckless narcissist.
Now, I suppose you could say he would say that,
that's
wouldn't
right,
he?
Exactly.
But the irony is that after the Trump administration has turned on Julian Assange and they've launched these extradition hearings to the US and they have all these charges against him, has support for Julian Assange swung back the other way?
Well, it's very hard to know. I mean, people are polarised. I've never seen anyone who creates so much division and polarising, polarisation as he does. It's really quite remarkable. But, you know, PJ Crowley and also someone else we speak to, Matthew Miller, who was in the Department of Justice at the time when the US was looking at espionage charges and the potential for charging Assange with espionage, say that the Obama administration didn't go ahead with it because of what they call the New York Times problem. If they charged Julian Assange, they would then have to charge the New York Times, and that would be a huge threat to the First Amendment and unconstitutional, they thought. Mm. The Trump administration, of course, doesn't have the same concerns about going after the New York Times.
No, but Americans might.
But certainly a lot of people in America do. And also a lot of the people who fell out with him and who are no great champions of his, no friends of his, like Alan Rushbridger, for instance, and Scott Shane, who we speak to from the New York Times, they all now say, well, look, you've got to put the character of Julian Assange to one side, and you have to now focus on what the threat of that charge would be. Because if we accept that the US can reach across outside the United States and grab, say, an Australian citizen, as Julian Assange is, and charge them for publishing US secrets anywhere in the world and extradite them back back to the US and jail them under espionage, then that's a big step and a big precedent that we accept.
Michael, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Looking forward to it. Michael Brissenden and Michael's Four Corners tonight. First of a two-part series, Hero or Villain? The Prosecution of Julian Assange. Four Corners tonight at 8:30 on ABC TV, of course, or anytime on iView.